I'd like to talk today about the benefits of a probiotic diet. I really don't like to use that word diet because to many, many people it means weight loss. Body ecology is not about weight loss. Yes, it's a fabulous diet for losing weight and staying thin, but we're so much more than that. The word diet means way of life, and that's what we're really offering people, is a way of life. And the word probiotic means for life. So this is a way of life that's for life versus antibiotic. Lots of people have used antibiotics, and we know that term very well, antibiotic drug, but antibiotic means against life. So a probiotic diet is a diet that's for creating life in your body. And we're going to talk today on exactly how to do that. Why would you want to go on a probiotic diet? Well, we're going to tell you lots of reasons why a probiotic diet is great for you. We're going to give you a list of the foods that you would find on a probiotic diet. And some of these foods are really ancient foods, very special foods that are not in the American diet today. The Body Ecology diet is different from all the other diets out there because we have the missing key that none of the other diets have. But before we get into the specifics about the Body Ecology diet, I'd like to talk to you about some of the other diets out there today that are so popular. Of course, there's the high protein diet. Dr. Atkins has made this diet very popular, but there's also the Zone and Carbohydrate Addicts diet and so on. These diets have a front and a back to them, a positive and a negative side. The front to these diets is that they eliminate sugar and carbohydrates, which is great. Many people today have a sticky, mucousy condition in the body that Chinese medicine refers to, a condition of dampness. And so a diet high in sugar is making your body more mucousy, more sticky, more damp. And that's why when people go on a high-protein diet, they initially feel good and look good. They lose a lot of weight, but there's eventually a back to eating this way. Most of all, people don't have the stomach acid to be able to digest all that animal protein. And animal protein, when it gets down into the intestines and isn't properly digested, actually has a lot of dangerous toxins. Eventually, you can get gut dysbiosis or colon problems like Crohn's, colitis, even colon cancer from the toxins that are created from eating undigested animal protein. Now, that's where Body Ecology is special because we do have animal protein on the diet, but we have a special way of making that animal protein more digestible and more useful to the body. And we'll be talking about that. Another diet that's very popular today is the raw foods diet. Thousands of people, especially on the West Coast, are really into this diet, and it too has a front and a back, or a positive and negative side. Now, when people start on the raw foods diet, they often feel better. This diet is really quite good for somebody who has an active viral condition. It's good for someone with cancer. It's a cleansing diet. It's good for the liver initially. But again, you're not digesting these raw foods for the most part, even though the argument for raw foods is that these are the foods that have enzymes. We don't have in our stomachs and digestive tract really the right enzymes for digesting raw food. Many people will tell you when they tried the raw foods diet, it just went through them. They didn't feel good. They lost a lot of weight, but they really became deficient in nutrients. People on the raw foods diet for a long period of time often lose their teeth. The phosphorus is in the mineral phosphorus is really just too high for those people. They're eating a lot of fruit that contains phosphorus. That's one of the problems. A lot of fruit means a lot of sugar. Their phosphorus levels get way above their calcium levels, and then they begin to lose their teeth. Most of all, I find that people really aren't able to digest the foods on a raw foods diet. Once again, if you want to do raw for the benefits of the raw foods diet, we can make it even better on the Body Ecology diet. So this diet, the Body Ecology diet, is actually a very flexible diet. And you can become a vegetarian on it if you want to. You can be a meat eater. Yes, vegetarians need the Body Ecology diet because, once again, you have to digest your foods. A vegetarian is trying to get a lot of proteins from plant sources. And so as you see as we talk more about the body ecology diet, you'll see that even a vegetarian should absolutely be doing vegetarian body ecology style. Originally, when I wrote this book, The Body Ecology Diet, which, by the way, has now sold over 100,000 copies just by word of mouth, I created the diet for people with systemic fungal infections or yeast infections or candidiasis. And today, some researchers feel that 8 out of 10 people who don't feel well actually are walking around with a systemic fungal infection in their blood. Systemic means in the blood. So that means that yeast and fungus have gotten into your blood and are basically affecting every single organ in the body. Yes, the digestive tract. Yes, the liver. Yes, the pancreas. The fungus can affect the heart, the brain, the nervous system, all over the body. And I don't want to talk today about candidiasis. That needs to be a separate talk because I want to talk more about the probiotic diet and the benefits of a diet. One of the benefits of the probiotic diet is that it conquers a systemic fungal infection, and actually that's huge. Now, to get into this in detail, I want to kind of give you a piece of information that is not known. I'm sure you've never heard it before, but it's essential information, and it's information that every single person in this country, on this planet, especially any healthcare professional that's working with people to help them create a healthier body, needs to know what I'm about to teach you right now. I want to go back to the baby in the womb. All of us know that a baby starts off from two simple cells, an egg cell and a sperm cell, and the baby starts to grow in the womb in a very basically sterile environment. He's floating around in the amniotic fluid, which is very much like water in the ocean. And he's growing inside this womb for 9 months. And he's not exposed to any bacteria from the outside world. Now, close to the time that the baby's ready to come out, the mother's cervix starts to dilate ever so slightly, usually about 2 centimeters. And the bacteria that's in her birth canal now begins to enter the baby's world, gets into that amniotic fluid. The baby, of course, is always drinking that. And the bacteria begins to go down into his digestive tract. When the day of birth comes and he moves through the birth canal and out into the world, this is a process that takes hours sometimes. And during that time, he's in sort of a mucusy type substance that also contains a lot of the bacteria that would be in the mother's birth canal. And so he's exposed to this. Now, several years ago, at one of the major universities, I think it was Columbia, they did a study on 1,000 women. And to the researchers' surprise, about 85% of them had an infection in the birth canal. But what really surprised the researchers was that most of the women didn't even realize they had an infection. Now, what does that mean? It means that a lot of babies are passing through birth canals today and are picking up pathogenic infections from the birth canal instead of being inoculated with healthy bacteria. That's really what's supposed to happen. The mother's birth canal is supposed to contain a large amount of friendly bacteria, lots of bifidus bacteria, and she basically inoculates her baby with this healthy bacteria. Now, a baby's going to move from his absolutely sterile environment into this world that is inundated with bacteria. And some of that bacteria is going to be positive, some of it's going to be neutral, but some of it could be pathogenic bacteria. And nature protects us from the pathogenic bacteria in a very special way. Now I'm going to go back to the baby in the womb. Let's say that the cervix opens a few centimeters a few days before the baby's about to be born, and his mother's birth canal contains a lot of healthy bifidus bacteria. Now, the baby's going to be inoculated with that healthy bacteria. He's going to slip through the birth canal when it's time for him to be born. And he comes out in the world with a lot of good bacteria in his gut, in his intestines. He's going to be put, ideally, to the mother's breast. And days before the baby actually is born, the mother's body has been preparing to feed the baby by creating a substance called colostrum. It's really considered a non-milk substance. Colostrum is a potent, protective food that gives the baby a lot of immunity until his own immune system is set up. The human baby is able to survive without colostrum. A baby calf must get his mother's colostrum. If he doesn't, within a week, he's dead. He usually gets an infection that's very similar to the SARS virus. It's called the coronavirus, and he's dead within the week. Because the mother cow doesn't pass immunity on to her little calf the same way a human mother is able to pass on some immunity to her newborn baby. Nevertheless, in all mammals, colostrum is an extremely important food. Now, babies are born with an open gut. A lot of you have probably heard the term leaky gut and you think it's a bad thing. The gut is open for a specific reason. The colostrum contains proteins and peptides and transfer factor and very important substances that have to get into the baby's blood instantly to begin to protect him. And so when the gut is open like that and permeable, the colostrum and the nutrients in the colostrum actually go in immediately and begin to give that baby the immunity he needs. At first, the colostrum in the first 6 hours doesn't have any sugar. And actually, as soon as the baby's gut starts to fill up with the colostrum, the gut seals itself up. And in about 6 hours, the colostrum changes ever so slightly and becomes quite rich and sugary. At that point, it begins to create mucus in the baby's digestive tract. And this mucus adheres to the baby's mucosal lining. And the microflora that's inside the baby's digestive tract begins to stick onto that mucus. This is the beginning of the inner ecosystem. One of the principles of the body ecology diet is the principle of step by step. And this is an example of a step by step procedure. This is how nature establishes the inner ecosystem inside each of us. The bacteria enter the baby's body, and then this first substance, colostrum, creates a bed of mucus. The microflora adhere to that. And then as the baby continues to eat the colostrum, which is very rich in sugar, the microflora are fed by that sugar, and they grow and grow and grow. And as the days and weeks and months go by, a baby has a fully functioning inner ecosystem set up inside his intestines. Now, why would you want that? Why does nature choose to put something like this in place inside of us even as we're entering the world? The microflora that come to live inside of us do many, many important things. During an ideal birth, nature goes through a very methodical process of establishing an inner ecosystem exactly as it should be, with a correct balance of beneficial microflora. About 85% of our immune system is located in the gut. And the microflora are an integral part of keeping our gut healthy. They have to be there. Our immune system is not strong if we don't have microflora living in our gut. As a matter of fact, researchers are able to actually create what they call germ-free animals in laboratories. These germ-free animals have no inner ecosystem. And what they do is they take these babies by cesarean section before they are born through the mother's birth canal, and they keep them in a completely sterile environment. And what they've noticed about these germ-free animals is that they have to consume at least 30% more calories to maintain their normal body weight. And they also tend to be seriously undernourished. But the other special thing about them is that they have no immune systems, and they tend to easily succumb to a number of different types of illnesses. So what's important to understand about this is that nature actually vaccinates us at birth. Right now, we are obsessed with vaccinating our babies. Vaccinations were originally developed for older children about the age of 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and they were to be given only to extremely healthy people when they were healthy and hearty. A baby who's just coming into this world is not a candidate for a vaccination. And if we really understood that nature vaccinates us beautifully at birth by putting this inner ecosystem into place, we wouldn't be so willing to take our babies in for so many vaccinations. And this is one of the reasons why our children are having learning disabilities and why so many of them are autistic. It's one of the reasons, not the only reason. This is something very, very critical that we need to teach mothers before they have their children, is that nature vaccinates us and does a beautiful job of it. So creating this inner ecosystem inside of our body, initially nature starts it for us but it's our responsibility throughout our entire life to maintain this vital inner world. Now, what else do we need to know about microflora? Why are they in our intestines in the first place? Well, they are amazing beings. They're actually highly intelligent. The microflora that inhabit our intestines are actually communicating at all times chemically with our enteric nervous system or second brain. Now, maybe you didn't know that we have two brains in our body. We have the one in our head. Everybody knows that. But we have another brain in our intestines as well. It's called the enteric nervous system or the second brain. Which of the two brains do you think is really controlling the body? Is it the brain in our head or is it the brain in our intestines? Most people would say, oh, the brain in our head. You know, we can't do anything without that. Well, think about this. The brain in our head needs nutrients like proteins and glucose and fats, especially needs excellent raw fats. So where do those come from? It comes from our intestines. And also our neurotransmitters, which are actually brain chemicals, are manufactured in the gut. Serotonin is manufactured in our intestines. And serotonin is transported up into the brain. So many people today are on drugs for depression. And we have found over and over again by following the body ecology way and by eating the foods that we recommend, they no longer need their antidepressants. The microflora assist in the breakdown of foods so that we can digest them. And you know, eating foods is important. Eating really good quality foods is important. But digesting them is essential, because even the healthiest foods, if they're not digested, aren't really doing what they're supposed to do in our body. The microflora produce vitamins. They produce all the B vitamins. They produce vitamin K. They help us extract minerals from our food. They actually get the minerals out of our food, and then they retain the minerals so that we can build mineral-rich blood. And mineral-rich blood is essential. When your blood is slightly alkaline, then viruses and pathogenic bacteria and cancer cells and so on don't grow in the blood. They grow in the blood when it's acidic. And it's the minerals. Having mineral-rich blood is what keeps the blood slightly alkaline so that these pathogens can't grow in our body. The ability that they have to take the minerals out of the food, to retain the minerals, to build this mineral-rich blood is essential. If that's all they did, that would be enough. But they do so much more than that. People love sugar. And you know, you might wonder sometimes, you might say to yourself, well, I know when I'm on an antifungal diet, I can't have any type of sugars. But then sugars in foods in nature, for example, nature has fruits, delicious, sweet fruits. Well, this may be good news for many of you, but we're supposed to be able to eat and enjoy the delicious sweetness in fruits and in vegetables too. Even onions and carrots are quite sweet. Now, when you have a large amount of friendly bacteria growing in the intestinal tract, living there, and you eat something sweet, like an apple, let's say, then the microflora enjoy the sweetness of the apple and nothing bad happens to you. There's lots of things wrong with sugar. It ages us. It makes our blood too acidic. It feeds yeast that might be living in your intestinal tract. And when the body is too acidic, then obviously the fungus growing in your blood is going to be well nourished and continue to grow, and you'll get even more of a severe fungal infection. Humans are allowed to enjoy the delicious, sweet taste of these fruits and vegetables because an inner ecosystem was supposed to be put into our intestines as we were entering the world. And the sugar helps them grow, but it doesn't hurt us in any way. Now, it's important to know that large amounts of sugar, like if you ate sugar all the time, cereal for breakfast and a candy bar and whatever else you can think of, donuts and so on, the microflora are actually going to be killed by excessive amounts of sugar. But sugar found in nature is going to help the microflora grow. So this is good news to many of us that enjoy having something sweet and delicious occasionally, as long as we have lots and lots of healthy bacteria living in the intestinal tract. when you start to eat these foods, you stop cravings for foods. You know, we're craving sugar all the time. They help to correct nutrient deficiencies so well that we don't go around craving things all the time. A lot of people eat a meal and they still aren't satisfied. They go back and they're looking for something else and they try something sweet. But when you start to eat foods that are fermented, you feel very satisfied and you don't have these cravings. Now, for people who do want to lose weight, this is essential to understand this. And by the way, grains, for example, a lot of people say, well, you know, I just can't do grains. The sugars and the carbohydrates, and this is the whole concept of the high protein diets, is let's get off of all carbohydrates. Well, high quality, complex carbohydrates also have sugar, and they too are food for the microflora. So they become beneficial when the microflora, when the inner ecosystem is in place inside your intestinal tract. You can ferment grains, but we don't ferment grains. Anne Wigmore, when she was alive, was fermenting wheat berries and making a food called Rejuvelac. I'm very much against this for people with systemic fungal infections. It just makes the fungal infection worse. And we don't ferment fruits. They don't work either for most people in the beginning because people do have the systemic fungal infection. But yes, you can ferment ocean and land vegetables. Yes, herbs. Yes, the young coconut kefir. And yes, dairy foods as well. I like to think of the beneficial microflora, the bacteria and the beneficial yeast that can live inside of us as alchemists. As a matter of fact, if you eat foods that contain chemicals and pesticides or have heavy metals in them, let's say that you eat a piece of fish and it does contain mercury, the microflora actually have the ability to take that toxin and neutralize it or even turn it into something useful. The microflora can take toxins that come from undigested animal protein. Remember I said earlier on that these toxins can create severe problems in the intestines like Crohn's and colitis or even colon cancer. The microflora can actually take those toxins and neutralize them or even turn them back into useful amino acids. So they're really alchemists. As a matter of fact, if you've ever seen pictures of a oil spill on the ocean, and it's got this horrible thick sludge for miles and miles. You look at that and you think, how can we ever clean that up? It's killing the animals. They actually put microflora onto that and let the microflora eat up all that oil and clean it off the ocean. So that's how powerful they are. People are over-concerned today about eating eggs, for example, raw, or maybe a juice that hasn't been pasteurized or butter that hasn't been pasteurized. But if you have a lot of microflora in your gut, like we're supposed to have, you'd never worry about that. Because let's say that there was a little bit of salmonella in it, in the eggs, or a little E. coli in the juice. The microflora would take care of that immediately. You might have a little cramping, a little bit of diarrhea, but that's it. You wouldn't have a severe problem. So, you know, the science that we've created at the moment, the system of healing that most of us follow, is really based on fear. What we're trying to do at Body Ecology is to create a whole new system based on a respect for nature, honoring nature's way, and creating this inner ecosystem just as we enter this world. This is honoring nature's way. When you have large amounts of healthy microflora living in your intestines, that's their world. And they like to create a garden-like world in your intestines. When they're there, they keep their world clean and healthy. And when their world is clean and healthy, that means your intestines are clean. That means your liver's clean. You're not going to age as quickly. You'll find that your skin is much more beautiful. You won't have joint problems. Your vision will be much superior, and we won't have the problems that so many people take for granted. You know, we think we're supposed to have cataracts when we get old. If we had foods that contained large amounts of microflora in them, these would not be problems for us today. When the microflora keep your intestines healthy, your blood is healthy, your organs are healthy, your cells are healthy. This is the secret to not aging and to preventing disease. What if you eat a meal and you're missing an important element like calcium, or you don't have enough calcium? Well, the microflora actually have the ability to take other minerals like silica, for example, and turn it into calcium for us. Recent research shows that certain microflora actually have the ability to signal the human body. They use hormone-like chemicals to do this. And they can actually increase the number of blood vessels in a particular region in your gut. People today don't have healthy intestines, and this is why. If you line up 100 people and say, "How's your digestion?" Pretty close to 100 people will say, "My digestion is pretty terrible." Yes, because we don't establish this inner ecosystem at birth and maintain it throughout our life. Now, how do you do that? Once nature sets it up, how do we maintain a healthy inner ecosystem until the day we die? Well, it's so simple. Sometimes I'm amazed at how we've managed to miss this. All you have to do, basically, is eat and drink foods that are fermented or cultured. When they're fermented or cultured, that means that they contain large amounts of microflora and beneficial yeast. You don't see these. You look at delicious, brightly colored vegetables, but in those vegetables are vast amounts of microflora that when you eat them, they get down into your intestines easily, no problem with the stomach acid. They start to colonize inside your gut. You'll notice that your intestines are cleaner, your stool is cleaner, you have more energy, you feel much happier. Let's say that you decide that you want to start eating a fermented food. You can take vegetables, especially cabbage, carrots, daikon. You can take ocean vegetables like arame, for example. You can take herbs, you can take dill seed and caraway seed, and you can mix these all together and pack them tightly into a jar and seal the jar so that air can't get in. You let them sit out for a week or 2 weeks, and then you put them in the refrigerator and you start eating them. Now you've got a delicious probiotic salad that's ready to include in any meal that you have. So they really become fast foods once you take the time to make them. When you ferment foods, you increase the nutrient value hundreds of times. For example, let's take cabbage. Cabbage raw is hard to digest. It suppresses the thyroid. But when you ferment it, it's easy to digest. It's been pre-digested, actually, by the microflora. And the vitamin C, for example, in cabbage is increased by hundreds of times. So now you're eating a food that's much more nutritionally dense and it's been pre-digested. So really, it takes no work on the part of your digestive tract to digest this food. Sometimes when people are still into eating bread, which we're not really into on the Body Ecology Diet, but if you want to have a slice of a healthy bread, we even have people make sandwiches out of the cultured vegetables. That's all they have is cultured vegetables and maybe a little bit of mustard or mayonnaise. And you can sprinkle it with good Celtic sea salt and make a delicious sandwich that way. We find lots of the children like that. The cultured vegetables can be made with many different vegetables. Therefore, you get many, many different flavors. So if you've made a batch that you're not particularly fond of because it's sour and different, then just try a different recipe. If you want a sweeter batch, you might want to make yours out of sweeter vegetables like red cabbage and sweet potatoes and beets. You don't have to worry about the sugar in these vegetables once they're fermented because the microflora eat them up. Now you're eating a food that contains microflora. The microflora are going to get it down into your intestines and create tremendous numbers of B vitamins and vitamin K. But these foods are also greatly enriched because they've been fermented. You can add oils like pumpkin seed oil. We have a roasted pumpkin seed oil that's quite delicious. You can add the Celtic sea salt. You can put olive oil on them. And literally, you have a probiotic salad when you do that. So let's talk just a little bit more about some examples of some foods that are fermented. On the Body Ecology Diet and on Body Ecology's special diet for children called the Bedrock Body Ecology Diet, Recovering Our Kids, we recommend a very special probiotic drink. What we teach people to do is to take the liquid from inside of the young coconut. Now, this isn't the brown, hairy coconut that we all know so well. You can now get in our country young coconuts. Each coconut has a cup to a cup and a half of a very delicious sweet liquid. And the liquid is very rich in glucose, which is sugar, and very rich in minerals. As a matter of fact, the sodium and the potassium and the calcium and the magnesium are identical to the minerals in our own body. Now, because the coconut water is so very, very sweet, we don't want people drinking it because of the sugar, too much sugar. People don't have the microflora in place. So what we do is we use it as the perfect medium for fermenting. We actually place microflora right into this coconut water, and we let it sit out on the counter for about 36 hours at room temperature. The microflora ferment the water, eat up the sugar, and you end up with a delicious probiotic drink that does all the things that we mentioned before. It's mineral rich, so it's very alkalizing, and it's loaded with bacteria. And we love for people to start on this drink as soon as possible. It's an essential first step on our bedrock protocol for mothers whose children have autism. We see at the Body Ecology Diet, autism is a gut-brain disorder. We begin working immediately to get that gut-brain infection under control, and then the child begins to come back into the world, become present. Then it's a process of starting to correct the nutrient deficiencies that have been going on sometimes, unfortunately, for years. And little by little by little, the children start to catch up. We have a really excellent protocol for autism. Also, you might wonder, many people are asking this, why are there over a million children in the last 5 years who've suddenly become autistic? There's that many more in England, and there are millions in other countries too, like Australia and Canada, for example. Altogether, there are millions of autistic children, and they're just increasing in number now. I believe in the state of California, one in every 125 children being born will become autistic. We believe that these are very special children, and they're playing this difficult role to wake us up. Because if we don't stop poisoning the earth, the water, the air, stop poisoning our physical bodies with mercury and aluminum and lead and pesticides and chemicals, if we don't stop creating fungal infections in our babies, these children aren't going to be able to grow up. They're not going to be able to reproduce. There aren't going to be more humans on the planet, or the children that are coming in will be seriously deformed or very, very defective. So just like AIDS years ago advanced our knowledge of the immune system, the autistic children are advancing our knowledge of this gut-brain connection and the immune system and so very much more. Thanks to these autistic children, we're going to be able to look back someday and realize that we now bring our babies into the world so much healthier and so much stronger because of what we've learned from these children. I have a concern right now. Most people haven't heard about this, but when a woman becomes pregnant, they're testing her to see if she does have a pathogen in her intestines or in her birth canal. Again, about 85% of these young pregnant women will test positive for a pathogenic bacteria. It doesn't necessarily mean that the pathogen can become a problem, but it could become a problem. So now the Pediatric Association is suggesting that mothers, well, they're really recommending it to the point where most mothers think it's mandatory and they do it. But as soon as the mother goes into labor, they begin giving the mother an IV antibiotic. This will absolutely ensure that the inner ecosystem will never be created, and it's really a formula for millions of more autistic children very, very rapidly. The answer is the answer that we are offering the world. We are telling mothers to begin to eat fermented foods that have beneficial bacteria in them. When you eat them, these bacteria colonize the intestines. They get down into the birth canal as well. And the baby, when the baby's born, passes through a healthy birth canal, and his inner ecosystem is set into place. And he starts off life with a strong, healthy immune system, exactly the way nature intended. And he doesn't need to be vaccinated. And if you do decide to vaccinate your child, for some reason, then at least be sure he's absolutely well, strong and hearty long before you vaccinate him. Do not take him to the doctor when he's just finishing up a cold or fever. So often the mothers that we work with, we find that the kids weren't well, or the children were just recently sick before they went in for their vaccination. If you're working with a pediatrician who doesn't know about the Body Ecology Way, please give him a copy of our book or give her a copy of our book and teach him or her about what you're doing. Because it's unfortunately, many of the medical professionals just haven't been trained to understand this yet. And they learn so much from their patients who sometimes learn this information long before they do. My experience in working with these pediatricians and OBGYNs is they really want to help you create a healthy baby, and they don't want to be sued if the baby's not healthy. So they're very happy to share this information with their patients if they know it. So please be the one to bring the good news to your doctor. Now, kind of digress there a little bit, but I'd like to go into the fermented foods. The young coconut kefir drink that I talked about is really quite delicious. Most people just love it, just like it is. But if your child doesn't like it or you're not crazy about it right away, you can flavor it. You can put in the black currant juice or some cranberry juice, put in a little bit of our delicious stevia, and make a great drink in the morning. We like for people to take this probiotic drink when they wake up in the morning. We like for them to take it at bedtime. If you take a probiotic drink like this at bedtime and you lie down and you're still for 8 hours or so, the microflora are going to reproduce even faster while you're lying there in their nice warm environment and you're absolutely still. But you can take it with your meals. Like if you drink 4 or 5, 6 ounces with a meal, you'll notice a big difference in your digestion. 15, 20 minutes after eating the meal, you'll notice how well the food digests in your stomach. So it's a wonderful digestive aid. One of the things we've noticed about it is that it cleanses the liver. Women have consistently reported to us that their periods are so clean every month. The blood in their period is just very translucent and very clean. People have much more beautiful skin. The skin becomes more poreless. People have reported to us that their joint problems have disappeared. They stopped aching. Their vision has gotten better. So in Chinese medicine, the liver rules the joint, the skin, and vision. So we know that it's having a positive effect on the liver. And with our autistic children and many people today, our detoxification pathways are stuck. We're not eliminating the toxins and getting them out of the body the way we're supposed to. And so they're staying inside of us and they're making us sick. This is our definition of disease. We are very clear to distinguish between cleansing. The body is always cleansing. We have a CD on cleansing if you'd like to listen to that and learn a lot more about cleansing. The cleansing is a wonderful gift that when the body was created, this ability to cleanse was given to us so that we can push these toxins out. But sometimes this ability to cleanse becomes stuck and the toxins aren't being smoothly eliminated. And this is when we get into trouble. Of course, we want to stop putting in toxins, but children have a tremendous vitality for pushing out toxins. The children with autism, they don't have this ability at the moment. And so that's one of the things that we're working on is to get their bodies to cleanse out these toxins, these heavy metals and pesticides and so on that they've inherited from generations back. And then they start to become well. The young coconut kefir is a food that anyone can make. We find that most everybody seems to be able to get these coconuts. Many of your health food stores are carrying them now. You can go to Asian markets. They usually seem to have them by the cases. There are certain places like California that they seem to be everywhere. And so I was concerned when I first created this drink that people were going to have trouble finding the coconuts. But evidently they are available and people are finding the coconuts, they're making the drink, and we're getting remarkable stories back from people on its benefit. If you have any type of gut dysbiosis, you are going to love what this young coconut kefir is doing for your body. Now, we say young coconut kefir because we tend to use a kefir starter, beneficial bacteria and beneficial yeast that we put into this very sweet sugary water, and we turn it into then young coconut kefir. But we have another starter that has plantarum in it called culture starter that we use when we're making the cultured vegetables that can also be put into the sweet water of the young coconut, and you can ferment with that as well. Sometimes I use half a package of the kefir starter and a half a package of the culture starter and mix them together. You could even open up an acidophilus tablet and put that in there as well and begin to create a wonderful fermented drink. Another food that we encourage people to drink, especially in the morning for breakfast, is kefir made from milk. Not everybody can digest milk. I'm a perfect example of somebody who never could digest milk, finally gave it up for 25 years or so, and am back enjoying it because I have a healthy inner ecosystem. One of the reasons why I like for people to start off with the young coconut kefir made with the kefir starter is you're bringing in beneficial bacteria and beneficial yeast. And these are dairy-loving bacteria and yeast. They like to digest dairy foods. So before, where I could never digest them, thought I was lactose intolerant. Now I realize I just didn't have an inner ecosystem that allowed me to digest foods. The inner ecosystem in your intestines determines what you're going to digest. Let's say you grew up in Japan. Let's say that you were born to a mother, and in her birth canal, she didn't eat dairy food, so she didn't pass on to you dairy-loving bacteria. You're not going to digest dairy well at first until you change that. But let's say you were born to a mother in one of the Scandinavian countries like Denmark or Norway, and there are an abundance of wonderful fermented dairy foods there, yogurts and so on. Well, you would be born to a mother who had a lot of good bacteria in her birth canal, and you would be inoculated with dairy-loving bifidus bacteria that digested the dairy, and you wouldn't have any trouble on it. So I personally don't believe in lactose intolerance. I think people just simply need to create the inner ecosystem in their gut to digest the foods that they want to enjoy. And if you want to enjoy dairy foods, slowly but surely, you can literally create an inner ecosystem and then train your body to digest these foods. That's exactly what I've done. And I'm so grateful because I do love my kefir in the morning. It's a great fast food for somebody busy. What makes kefir special, though, is the beneficial yeast. It's different from yogurt. It's actually much more potent than yogurt because it has lots of beneficial bacteria and great yeast. It's the yeast that make it slightly alcoholic. It gives it that slightly little effervescence, bubbly, refreshing essence that kefir has that yogurt doesn't have. And yogurt has Thermophilus bulgaricus. Sometimes they add Acidophilus and Bifidus to the new cultures today, but they don't have the Bifidus bacteria and the beneficial yeast that's only found in a true kefir. There are all kinds of myths and legends about fermented foods. Captain Cook, who was renowned for being able to go out for a couple of years at a time, you know, he discovered Tahiti, and his crew would come back in really good shape. They lost just a few crew members, like 6 or 7 people, and they didn't usually die from health problems. But other ships, when the crews came out, as many as 2/3 of them died on those long voyages because they didn't have good, nutrient-dense food to eat. Well, Captain Cook was quite a nutritionist, and he stored barrels of cultured vegetables down below his ship, and the men had plenty of vitamin C and lots of good nutrition all throughout their voyage. The American Indians, for thousands of years, pounded vegetables, put them in vessels, buried them below the ground, and would come back months and years later and dig them up and eat them. You know, we are so used to supermarkets and having food available from all over the world anytime we want it, night or day practically. But until a very short while ago, we didn't even have refrigeration. So when people used up the foods that they grew and harvested in the fall, they grew through the summer months, harvested in the fall, they would be without fresh food until they were able to grow new crops in the late spring, early summer, or until the fall. So being able to ferment foods and preserve them and keep them for long periods of time really has been essential for the survival of the human race. When I was doing research on kefir, milk kefir, I discovered that it actually came from the region of Turkey. Supposedly, according to what I was told, Noah's Ark was that there was an ark discovered in the region of Turkey. And the Turkish people say that kefir was given to them by a messenger god who told them never to change the kefir in any way. So for a very long time, they didn't share their secret food with the outside world. The Russians knew that the Turkish people had this very special food that made them healthy and gave them a long life. And they were anxious to obtain it, and they actually tricked the Turkish. I won't go into that whole story now, but they tricked the Turkish people into giving them their secret, and now the Russians probably drink more kefir than any other country, although in Germany, in Poland, all over the world, actually, people have a fermented drink that they either call kefir or it's very similar to kefir. Even the Maasai Indians in Africa have a fermented drink very, very similar to kefir. You know, in Russia, all school children are offered a glass of kefir when they come to school because the Russians know that it builds strong, healthy children. They have milk kitchens for their pregnant nursing mothers because they want to build strong, healthy babies. All over the world, cultures that haven't become very, very westernized eat fermented foods. The Chinese, even today, still ferment foods. The Chinese government grows cabbages in the countryside, and then in the fall, they bring in these cabbages by truckload. These huge trucks roll into the plazas and the squares of their villages, and they drop these cabbages onto the square. Women come, men come, they pick up as much cabbage as they want to carry away, they bring it back to their homes and their apartments, they ferment it, and this is how they have alive, fresh food that gets them through the winter months until they can grow foods again. The Japanese and the Koreans eat fermented foods. The Koreans have kimchi, the Japanese have natto, and they have soy sauce. In Indonesia, they have tempeh. Now, I want to tell you something about soy products in just a minute, but I just want to make the point that cultured foods are actually all over the world. I believe that these foods are very, very ancient. They have been around as long as man has been around. I really believe that we actually inherited them from the previous civilization. Just want to say a little bit more about soy because there's such a confusion. For the last several years, you've probably picked up many, many magazines and newspapers talking about the benefit of soy. Soy is beneficial only if it's fermented. Unfermented soy, that means soy milk, soy ice cream, soy desserts, soy protein isolates. These foods are not healthy. They suppress the thyroid. They are difficult to digest. They make the blood too acidic. Again, if you go to the Weston A. Price Foundation, there's a lot of information on the dangers of the unfermented soy. If you ferment the soy the way they do in Indonesia and create tempeh, in Japan they've got natto and miso, and then, of course, tamari. These are examples of where the very difficult to digest soybean has been broken down by microflora and made it beneficial for mankind. These foods have now become foods that humans can eat. And this is what microflora do. They serve us. They live inside of us to create life. But if you are wondering about raw versus cooked, I just want to let you know that raw and cooked are both good. In some very recent studies, they found out that when you cook a vegetable, yes, you destroy some of its nutrients. But when cooked, other nutrients were actually enhanced. What we say on the Body Ecology Diet is in a meal, you want to have some cooked vegetables, you want to have something raw, but always have something fermented. Fermented is better than raw. We don't have the enzymes to digest raw vegetables. Now, if you read the book, you'll know that I actually am very big on eating animal proteins that are rare, even raw, like raw salmon sashimi is one of my favorite foods. And I always eat them with cultured vegetables because, again, you don't have to worry about pathogens growing on raw egg yolks or anything that you're taking in. If you have lots of microflora in your diet during the day, if you're real concerned, drink some young coconut kefir right along with that raw egg yolk that you put into something, and you don't have to worry. We're obsessed and fearful over these pathogens when the truth is that the probiotic foods protect us. Now, something I want to say about dairy foods, I think this is very important to understand, is that many people are not ready for dairy foods. I'll use our children who are suffering from autism as an example here. Their parents note that when they go on a gluten-free, casein-free diet, they get better to a certain point, they improve. The reason this is happening is that these children have a leaky gut, but they have more than a leaky gut. Their gut is open, it's permeable, it's also infected, and it's wounded. What we do right away in the beginning of our Bedrock program is we focus on the gut and we heal it. It's no longer wounded, it seals itself up, and when the children are ready, we move them back to dairy foods, but not at first. We want to be sure that that gut is healthy and sealed. That's actually really what is happening at birth. The baby doesn't have an infected gut. Yes, he has, for a short period of time, a leaky gut to get that colostrum in and to get all those powerful nutrients into his bloodstream quickly. But then, remember, it seals right up. What's really happening, the reason that people don't digest dairy is that the protein, the casein, is leaking through an open gut and getting into the bloodstream when it's not supposed to be there. The gut opens and closes when we're under stress, and it opens and closes when it's irritated, when the foods we're eating create a lot of acid bile that irritate it. Even chlorinated water kills the bacteria and irritates the gut. There's a lot of things that we're doing that are creating gut dysbiosis. And these children have this condition. So we're starting off with the young coconut kefir, raw butter. We're very big on raw butter. It's a wonderful, wonderful food because it helps the microflora adhere to the mucosal lining. It has this wonderful soothing effect on the intestines. The microflora love the fatty acids in the butter. Our mothers love eating the raw butter because it's rich in CLA, conjugated linoleic acid. And if the cows eat grass, there's a lot of CLA in their milk. Butter comes from the milk. The butter is the fat of the milk. The casein is not in the butter. It has a trace amount, which nobody has any problem with, but you're eating mostly the fat of the milk. And people do well when they're taking the young coconut kefir and they move to the butter. They digest the butter really, really well. Actually, this is something important to say, too, that I probably didn't stress strongly enough. When I said that the microflora are essential for good digestion, many, many people today are not digesting their proteins, but they're not digesting their fats either. And we put people on the Body Ecology diet. We have a great variety of the best fats, the good fats, the really medicinal fats. And we put people on these fats, but you don't digest these good fats without this inner ecosystem being in place. So that's why we start right there with this inner ecosystem. I learned that years ago when I started reading and learning about the good fats, how important they were. And I was encouraging people that I was working with to begin to eat the fats. And then I noticed in a few months, they really weren't getting the benefits from these fats. So I knew something was wrong. Now you'll see as you practice this way that it works. You will find yourself finally being able to digest the proteins that your body desperately needs. You'll digest these critical fats that are important for the brain and the nervous system, for the brain that's in our gut needs these good healthy fats. We have to have these fats to create the cholesterol, to create the hormones. And so many people today, from teenagers to elderly people, are suffering from hormone deficiencies. We have autism in our children, but we have Alzheimer's in our adults. And all of this could be prevented by establishing this inner ecosystem and eating healthy foods, real foods, foods that have a lot of nutrients in them, eating fermented foods that bring good bacteria into the gut. These foods are nutrient-dense foods. I always say that if people would do three simple things, if they would eat fermented foods, if they would change the fats that they're eating to the good fats that we recommend on the Body Ecology diet, and if they would cut way down on the sugar, eat only the sugar that's found in nature after you've established a healthy inner ecosystem. And by the way, once a healthy inner ecosystem is established, then you digest those fats. So eating cultured foods, eating healthy fats, and cutting way down on the sugar, and even using stevia to give you that delicious sweet taste that humans naturally enjoy. Those three simple changes would make a profound difference in your health and in the health of everyone in this country. You know, 65% of Americans are overweight. We have a real serious problem with our children being obese. Everybody's saying, why? What's wrong? This is what's wrong. We lack the inner ecosystem to be able to eat and digest these foods. And it's so very, very simple to create this inner ecosystem. If people begin to want these foods, you'll find them readily available. Companies will start to manufacture them. We already have a listing on our website of where you can go to order some of these foods from people around the country that are making them now. One of the things that we hope to see is that people begin to go back to cottage industries where food is grown and produced locally. We would like to see local farms where the milk comes in fresh and the butter comes in fresh. And we'd love to see people join the Weston A. Price Foundation. If you go to the website realmilk.com, realmilk.com, you can get a listing of farmers all over the country that are making these wonderful, natural, raw dairy products available again. And the Weston A. Price Foundation is probably the key force in this country in trying to bring us back to real foods. As I mentioned before, all the other diets out there don't really work as well. If you want to do raw, you want to do it body ecology style with the fermented foods. If you want a high protein diet because that's best for your body, for your blood type, then you want to do it body ecology style with the fermented foods. It makes all the difference in the world. And you just look at these foods and you think, wow, I can't see anything, but they're magical. and they really are the secret to the success of our diet. We have information about the probiotic foods on our website and, of course, in the Body Ecology Diet book. Just as we humans are the creative life force that inhabits our planet, the microflora are the intelligent life force that's meant to inhabit and create life in the world inside of us. We really want to help mothers build strong, healthy babies. We know the causes of autism, for example. We know how to prevent autism. And just by eating the healthy foods that we recommend on the Body Ecology Diet, by eating the fermented foods, by building a healthy inner ecosystem in your body before you give birth to a child, and by ensuring that his inner ecosystem is set up as soon as he enters this world, this is going to create a whole different generation of healthy, hearty children. And our children really are our future. Thank you very much for listening to me. And please take this knowledge of a probiotic diet out to others and use it to help yourself become well.